Welcome to Ring of Fire. I'm Farron Cousins. Coming up on today's show, Donald Trump is still, as of at least last week, calling lawmakers and asking them to overturn their state's 2020 election results. That is actually coming from Wisconsin State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who admitted this week that Trump called him last week and asked him to go ahead and overturn those election results. We'll bring you the details. Jordan Cheriton from Status Quo News is going to be here to tell us how inflation is harming average working class families here in the United States. Jordan, of course, is on the ground going across the country talking to the people being directly impacted by rising inflation and greedflation. Bobby Lewis from Media Matters is going to be here to tell us how the One America News Network is not only promoting election deniers as they run for office this year, but he's going to give us a little insight into why One America may not survive through the end of this year. And of course, Mitch McConnell this week says that he anticipates a crowded field for the Republican 2024 primaries, which is, let's face it, probably not the best news for Donald Trump. We have all that and more coming up on Ring of Fire. And don't forget, to get the full show every single week, go sign up and become a member at rofpodcast.com. And you can get Ring of Fire every day of the week. Go subscribe to our YouTube channel for that at youtube.com/TheRingOfFire. A new report showed that over the last 12 months, we have once again a 9.1% increase in inflation for this month compared to last year, 2021, and it's wreaking havoc on American families. Joining me now to talk about the impact it's having on American families, because he's actually out there talking to people, is Jordan Cheriton from Status Quo News. Jordan, it's always a pleasure to talk to you because I love the fact that you are out there. You've been out there in Flint. You've been all over the country with the unions. Now you're out there talking to people about how inflation is impacting them personally. So tell us about this new project that you've got going on.
Yeah, kind of on a inflation / economic hellscape reporting tour. So we started in Philadelphia. Obviously, gas prices are getting a lot of the attention, but housing is insane. I'm already coming across just traveling a couple low-income apartment complexes that are facing eviction based on, you know, the good old real estate developers coming in to buy them up and kick folks out. So we cover that in Philadelphia, and these low-income residents are basically have 2 months to get out, but they can't find housing because the coupon, i.e. the voucher they've been given, basically will, you know, cover the bathroom, the price of a bathroom at some of these apartments in Philadelphia. Then we went to Altoona last night, where we covered, it's actually kind of Trump country, Pennsylvania. Trump won convincingly, but people are really hurting. I was speaking with families who are spending $150 a week just to drive to and from Altoona and Pittsburgh, you know, to drive their child to a doctor, a child with disabilities, talking to another family that they don't know if they're going to be able to pay rent this month and they don't have anyone to support them, you know, might be homeless if they can't afford rent. A mother was telling me she was scrapping up change the other day to fill up her tank. So this is the real stuff going on all over the country. And, you know, not that January 6th and other things aren't important, but when you're traveling, you really see the gap of corporate media coverage to what's really going on, because it really is, for lack of a better phrase, an economic Hunger Games right now with inflation. And beyond inflation, I mean, gentrification has been a permanent inflation in terms of housing prices and other things. But you turn on CNN, MSNBC, they're not really covering this. They're not really speaking in depth to kind of working folks. They're kind of covering the TikTok of the January 6th hearings.
Yeah. And it is, you know, as somebody who has to find news every day, it does get to be a bit overwhelming because everything is January 6th committee, January 6th committee. What could they say in the next hearing? What are they saying in this hearing? What did they just say in the last hearing? It gets to be overwhelming. And I understand, you know, why they're doing that. They want to put it in people's brains. But at the same time, a lot of these people in this country are also sitting down at their dinner tables at night, one, without enough food to go around for the whole family, and two, wondering, how do we make it through tomorrow? And then tomorrow they have this, how do we make it through the next day? So there are very real issues out there that do deserve this kind of coverage. And again, that's why I love talking to you, because you're out there actually talking to these people and covering these issues the way that they need to be covered, the way that, you know, 30, 40 years ago, this is what reporters would do. They wouldn't just sit down in a diner and say, hey, what politician do you like? They'd go and they'd speak to people. But we don't have enough of that anymore. That's not what the media is about these days. So, you know, the fact, again, that you're out there doing this and talking to these people and telling the stories, letting everybody know the personal level of this, this is a crisis. This is a massive crisis affecting the United States that is not getting the attention it deserves. We see people post on Twitter like, oh, inflation's bad. Oh, but gas prices are coming down 25 cents. Wonderful. Look at how it's still affecting people. A 25% drop is great, but people still can't afford it, even at that 25-cent drop. So it's still not good. And then you add in, of course, the corporate profits, right? We've got all of that news this week. Corporate CEO compensation is up 18% over the last 12 months. Inflation's 9%. So we can clearly see a lot of what's happening here, at least in terms of the price of goods here in the United States.
Yeah, and I think it's pretty illuminating, and I cover this on our YouTube channel, Status Quo, but it's pretty illuminating because despite inflation, the message from Biden and the Democrats have been, oh, unemployment's, you know, really low and GDP is up and the economy's, he's used the term historic comeback. A woman I just spoke with in Philly is telling me she's eating ramen noodles so that her kids could eat real food. And, you know, the Philadelphia situation I told you about where these residents are facing eviction, there's actually an encampment now. Tents have been popping up on this property and residents have been inviting community members to help them fight this eviction. Again, just a landlord selling to a greedy real estate developer, evicting senior citizens, disabled people, low-income Black people. And the Philadelphia media came. They covered it for about 10 minutes, left, and then framed it as homeless encampments when it's nothing of the sort. So there really is, in some cases, just your general, the media is concentrated with, you know, wealthier cosmopolitan journalists in New York and D.C. and the cognitive dissonance. But then there is simply a lack of concern, I think, from the media for these stories. I mean, should kind of be a big story, you would think, when in a city like Philadelphia, you have a big tent encampment popping up on a low income housing unit to fight residents being evicted still during a pandemic. We're still in a pandemic, despite some YouTube posts saying otherwise. But it's not. So, you know, I think it's really important to go cover these stories. They're not sexy. They don't go viral. But it really helps me connect because I'm human, too. So if I'm not on the road, you could get a little disconnected, too. And this stuff is happening everywhere. I've had so many viewers reach out to me wanting to be interviewed on this reporting tour. A lot of them weren't kind of on the logistical path where I could get to them with just insane stories that you would not believe in the wealthiest country on earth is happening. People, I just had somebody telling me they're rationing their antidepressants and weaning themselves off, even though they were just hospitalized 2 years ago. They need this medication, but with inflation, they can afford the medication. They can't afford the doctor's visit because you have to go to a doctor a couple times a year to get it refilled. So this is the kind of stuff happening, and it's not being represented by corporate media. Frankly, you know, aside from you and a few exceptions, even independent media kind of gets, you know, into this hot take machine where they don't cover these kind of stories. So, you know, it's thankless. These stories do not go viral, but I think they are very important to cover because, you know, nothing's going to change if we're still under the illusion that, oh, the economy, yeah, there's some people falling by the wayside. No, it's a lot more than some people. I would say this is now the new norm of people struggling. And even when inflation gets a little better, that's not going to do much in terms of housing costs, you know, rentals going up. That's kind of permanent inflation at this point.
You know, you bring up a really good point about the media talking about, oh, unemployment is low. I mean, hell, we've got economists saying, no, we actually need more people not working to help fix inflation. But it's very similar to what happened in 2009 and 2010 during that, you know, economic recovery, which is how they framed it. But what that meant was that, okay, Wall Street's doing great. The stock market's looking good. The wealthy people have money again. They never really were without it. But the average people out there were saying, I'm not recovering. My wages are not going up. I'm still struggling. I can't afford medication. I can't afford gas. I can't afford to not work two jobs. This isn't a recovery for me. And we see the exact same thing happening right now. Again, another report came out this week. The minimum wage in the U.S. is at a 60-year valuation low. So in 60 years, the minimum wage has not been able to purchase less than it can today. But we count those people working at minimum wage. We say, okay, you're not unemployed. So you don't go towards that number. We assume, because people don't read these jobs reports when they come out. I do. They're very boring. But it gives you a better picture. Sure, more people are working, but they're working crap jobs that do not pay the bills. And that's the part that gets left out of every single report that the media throws out there when talking about, oh, great jobs numbers. No, the number is good. The job is crap.
All you need to know, Farron, and your audience, I don't know if you saw this clip. While I was out there talking to, you know, let's just call them poor folks who are facing eviction, other folks who are scratching quarters together to put gas in their car, CNN interviewed the CEO of Goldman Sachs for advice to small businesses. And then asked the CEO of Goldman Sachs, do you have advice for the president right now? The same Goldman Sachs that tanked the global economy 10 years ago and got away with it. So that's all you really need to know. And what you're talking about, you look at these jobs reports, over half the jobs that came back that were lost in the pandemic are in the hospitality industry. So no disrespect to anyone that works in that industry. They'll tell you these are not exactly fine, vibrant union jobs where you can take a vacation once a year. So again, yes, it's all artificial surface level stuff. And this has happened throughout presidents and parties. Obama during the financial crash, same thing when he was running against Romney. Oh, we're coming back. We're not all the way there. I mean, who is coming back? There was a sea of foreclosures in Florida and elsewhere. And, you know, I talk to people today who tell me they've never come back from that over a decade ago. So we really are kind of in this two Americas, maybe three, because then there's indigenous, poor black and poor Hispanic people. But we're really in this alternate reality. And that's why, you know, I love going out and talking to people all over the country. It is depressing. I'm not going to lie. These stories are not easy to cover. It would be a lot easier to just sit in my studio and, you know, kind of follow what's trending every day. But I think it's important because another thing you always hear when I go around talking to these folks is, I can't even get the news station down the street to come to our protests or to come cover anything we do. And I think there's another element. Obviously, we've talked before about this kind of deflated left. You know, the left is a little deflated after, you know, Bernie's second run. Part of that deflation, I think, is what people are experiencing right now. I mean, who has the energy to fight or organize or anything if you're working three jobs or stress beyond belief about how am I going to afford, you know, the gas prices, the food prices, electric, et cetera. So there's just colliding factors right now that are affecting people in their wallets, but also, you know, kind of mental health wise too.
You know, and on that mental health front, also hitting back to something you said about these jobs in the hospitality industry. You know, a lot of the jobs lost during the pandemic were from hospitality. We're talking about servers, bartenders, people that work in nail salons, massage, masseuse, I don't know the plural of that, but people who have to basically directly be face-to-face with other human beings. Those jobs, a lot of them were lost during the pandemic. And the one thing all of these jobs have in common is that if you're not there physically, you do not get paid, right? There's no paid vacation for these industries. You know, this is a tip-based thing for most of these workers. So they don't get that mental health break. You know, they went through struggling through COVID, which we're still struggling through, but everything's reopened because we pretend, obviously, that the BA5 isn't real. But they're back out there on the front lines. They're still getting COVID. They're having to basically go to work either way because they don't get paid if they do not physically show up in that building, that restaurant, that massage parlor every day. There's no pay for them because there's no paid leave. We have no guarantees for any workers. And so we're forcing them to push through it. And by doing that, we spread more misery. I spoke to my doctor this week. I had just a regular appointment. And he told me that this BA5 variant has an infection factor of 18, which means if you have it, you are expected to give it to 18 people and so on and so forth down the line. He said, let me compare that to you to something else super contagious, Ebola. Ebola has an infection rate of 2, just 2. And BA5 is the most infectious virus on the planet today, is what my medical doctor told me. And we force these workers, you got to suffer through it. You've got to go out there. You've got to keep making this money for the economy. Oh, and by the way, we're still going to screw you over on minimum wage. We're still going to fund politicians that are fighting against any kind of, you know, paid leave, minimum wage increase. We're going to continue to screw you because we have the money to screw you. That's what's happening right now.
Yeah. And, you know, something else that's important and illuminating, and I've always seen this when I'm on the road, people I'm talking to, they're a lot smarter than most of the pundits on TV. I mean, folks I was talking to in Altoona, they knew very well that the gas prices they're paying are not inflation. It's price gouging. One woman said, you know, it's not a Democrat versus Republican thing. Literally, these oil companies are making record profits, yet somehow I'm paying, oh, good, it's down to 470 today. So this is, you know, this is greed. And I'll also say, I mean, we can talk about Republicans till we're blue in the face. Obviously, the growing conspiracy, you know, white supremacy, trying to overturn elections, they are indeed a threat. But when you have a president that, you know, we were fed, this is the guy to get things done, talking about Biden, he could get the Republicans over. He could get, you know, bridge the divide in the Democratic Party. And he's basically in fetal position most of the time explaining why he can't do things. I mean, London's on fire. He won't even declare a climate emergency. They won't even remove Manchin as the chair of the Senate Energy Committee, who's a coal baron making millions of dollars from a coal plant. I bring all this up because the people I interview, they do have animosity towards Republicans, but they're not voting for Democrats for the most part. Even women I spoke with, who obviously have something to vote on right now, with Roe being overturned, they're having a hard time bringing themselves to support the Democrats because it's kind of this vicious cycle of rinse and repeat. This is the most important election of our lifetime. You vote for them, and then there's every excuse in the book why we can't do big things. And not even one woman I spoke with said, even they're not even willing to fight. I would take them just fighting the Republicans. So, yeah, I mean, what we're covering is kind of a colliding force of the electoral system being corrupt, our government being corrupt, and the living victims of that corruption are the people I'm speaking with.
And, you know, right now, in terms of solutions to any of this with the inflation, which, of course, is very much greed driven, we got Bernie Sanders putting forward his proposal for the wealth tax, the excessive wealth. I don't know why, but it escapes me right now exactly what it's called. But that's about the only solution we've got kicking around out there from Bernie Sanders. And of course, you're never going to get one, any Republican to vote for it. You're not going to get Manchin. You're not going to get Sinema. You're not going to get probably a couple of the other senators out there who don't get the attention they deserve for things like this. So we have a solution, a very practical one, one that is actually supported by most people in the country, but it goes nowhere because everybody else says, well, if we do that, that's the money they're putting into my campaign. I can't do this. It's an election year, by God. We can't punish right. These poor corporations, but instead they'll punish the people that have to vote for them and then make them go to the polls and hold their nose and basically vote for one party over the other, knowing damn well that nothing's going to change. And I think that is the most disappointing part. That's why you have so much burnout. That's why you've seen the number of independents, no party affiliation, continue to increase because everybody just says, I'm done. Nobody is doing anything for me. You've got culture wars on one side, and then you have just on the other. That's what we're dealt with.
Well, you know, Bernie has proposed that, but there are things Biden can do. You just never hear from them from the media. For example, you know, I don't think either of us were alive. JFK in 1962, when the steel companies were price fixing, it went up $6 a barrel or a ton, excuse me, for steel. He held a press conference, called him out by name, and then said, I'm moving these submarine contracts away from you to steel companies that aren't increasing their prices. They all folded like cheap tents. We give $15 billion a year in subsidies, i.e. corporate socialism, to the fossil fuel industry. He could say, hey, if you don't lower these gas prices by at least $2 a gallon, getting it back to what it was before Russia, Ukraine, we're taking away your subsidies. By the way, Wall Street is heavily invested in the fossil fuel industry. That is the true reason Biden and the Democrats are not doing these kind of things, because they're trying to get donations for their Senate, congressional, governor's campaigns. So it's just a corrupt conflict of interest. But to your point, I think people are exhausted. You know, you ride that wave for 5 years of two Bernie campaigns. You think you're hopeful and you believe in revolution. And then what you're seeing now is kind of the neoliberal, you know, empire strikes back. And it's really deflating. But, you know, there are people I'm talking to that are organizing, that are, you know, Poor People's Campaign, other things for actions, for, you know, trying to organize some type of economic actions. So, you know, hopefully, unfortunately, as things get uglier, I think you're going to see more encampments like I covered in Philadelphia, more protests. And I think that's a good thing, because, frankly, we're in a climate inferno. I think we're in another housing bubble. So things are, you know, eventually this house of cards is going to fall, and the parliamentarian won't let us, will not be suitable anymore.
You know, I think the housing thing is a great example, too, because even if inflation goes away tomorrow, you know, prices drop down 10% and we totally erase all that inflation and everything. OK, great. We can afford things. That housing market, that's something that is just basically a completely different animal right now. You know, that really doesn't have much to do with inflation. This is just straight up gouging. This is Wall Street firms, hedge funds, and all these other companies coming in, buying up entire communities. I mean, almost purchasing half of a town like we had down here in Florida not that long ago, and just saying, okay, well, we can raise these prices by $50, by $100, by $200,000. And what are you going to do? You have to have a house. Right? It's either that or you're living on the streets. They have us, you know, by the leg, I'll say, I guess. And that is a different issue that we're going to have to deal with, because eventually they're going to price everybody out of the market. It's going to come crashing down and they'll probably get a bailout. But in the meantime, all of us suffer. People lose their homes. I mean, the only reason I even have the house I have right now is because I bought it in 2009 as a foreclosure that was basically riddled with termite damage and nobody else would purchase it. It's all I could afford. But we're going to see more of that as these houses go unsold and sit there and just rot in the sun. And they don't care, because they'll make their profits in the meantime.
Right. And by the way, something I've learned on my travels, there's literally real estate developers sitting on city councils across America. Like our elected city council people who are real estate developers. And there is basically a trend of real estate developers buying off the politicians giving the keys to the kingdom. And, you know, it used to be that, all right, we're forcing people out of their communities further and further out of where they live, but at least they could find somewhere, not desirable, but somewhere. Now, people I'm talking to that are being forced out of their low income areas, even if they want to look to a more rural area, that prices are going up there too. I mean, at a certain point, they're going to be forced to the Atlantic or Pacific Oceans. I mean, I know that sounds kind of comical, but there's nowhere for people to go at this point. And, you know, it truly is. This is not reflected in the media's reporting on the economy doing great, this and that, because this has been going on for a while. I don't even call it gentrification. I think that's vague and kind of boring. I call it economic terrorism. It is a frightening thing if you don't know where you're going to have a ceiling for your kids. Or, you know, that's a pretty frightening thing. And it doesn't have to be this way. I mean, we're get every week another 90 billion, whatever it is for Ukraine, whatever you think of giving money to Ukraine. We always have money for war. We have money for subsidies for the fossil, as I call them, the banks, big pharma. And by the way, part of the reason this price gouging is going on with these landlords is because we didn't just pay people during the pandemic, including the landlords. Europe backstopped the payrolls because that's what like a humane, civilized society does. They just covered the payrolls. We could not. We had a very, very short break from capitalism, and that didn't last long. So all these landlords are trying to make up for, you know, money they lost. I don't think it's defensible still, but that's their thought process. Well, I took it on the chin during the pandemic, even though most of them got a lot of money from the federal government. So it's really, the more you cover things on the ground, that's why Status Quo, you know, prides itself on being out there. You see well beyond the hot takes and headlines. We're in a cesspool of a country. It's corrupt. I'm sorry to tell people. And, you know, the working people are victims. And the only hope, I think, right now, which is why we've covered it so much, is these union movements. I'm on my way to cover to interview two Starbucks workers who were just fired for organizing. But that's really, to me, the main kind of light right now is these workers, Amazon, Starbucks, Trader Joe's is now trying to unionize because you can't wait. You can't wait for, you know, Democrats or Republicans. You have to take it. Into your own hands.
You know, and as you said, if there is any silver lining through any of this, it is that workers are starting to feel empowered. They understand their worth and they're willing to fight for it right now. And as, if that can keep up, hey, we may just be a couple years away from actually, you know, making some real change in this country. It's happening at a great rate, like we have not seen in, you know, 40 or 50 years. And it's got to continue. And based on what I'm seeing, I think based on what you're saying, I think it is going to continue. So, Jordan, real quick, where can everybody find you, follow your reporting here, and, of course, support you?
Yes, Status Quo on YouTube. They don't make it easy to find. We're live probably for the rest, you know, rest of this week. Probably going to be on the road for another week or so. Status Quo on YouTube. Click the bell for all notifications. At Status Quo on Twitter. We're even on TikTok now with the cool kids. So it's Status COUP. And yeah, if you appreciate, you know, on the ground journalism in the trenches, you can support us statusquo.com/join. We're not we get no money from the banks, the fossil fuel companies, big pharma. We're funded by our paying members that helps us, you know, cover these travel costs. So statusquo.com/join. But most of all, subscribe to our YouTube channel. We want to grow over there.
Jordan Cheriton, Status Quo News. Thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thanks, as always, Fern.
The One America News Network is not having a very good year, but they're still trying to keep their MAGA base happy by putting on a slew of Republican candidates who continue to deny the results of the 2020 election. Joining me now to talk about what is happening is Bobby Lewis from Media Matters for America. Bobby, it's great to have you on here. I followed you on Twitter for quite some time. You've got a very impressive Twitter following, by the way. I love it. I love to see it. And one of the things you do with Media Matters is you're kind of one of the guys that really hammers in on OWN, One America News. So before we even begin, I just want to say I can't imagine that that is pleasant, having to go through what they're saying on this, you know, absolutely ludicrous network here. So how do you even do that? I mean, really, how do you bring yourself to do that all the time?
Well, it is a bit of a challenge. Yes, it's a unique challenge. Because One America News Network, you know, it's a right wing media channel, so a certain amount of it is predictable just from what it is. But One America News, it goes just a little bit farther than a lot of its competition does. Like Fox News and Newsmax have kind of backed off of saying that the election was stolen. But over at OAN, that's still the bread and butter of the network. That's like probably the thing that they do that sets them apart more from other networks. That's just, that lie is so deeply embedded in their blood, and they're never going to give it up. And I think that's just characteristic of what we're talking about with One America News. They are true believers in the lies that they're spreading, and they're going to spread them until they can't anymore.
And so what we're looking at now, and there's a great report from Media Matters that came out this week talking about the fact that you have some of these very extreme, you know, a lot of them endorsed by Donald Trump candidates, you know, Doug Mastriano, Carrie Lake, and a bunch of other ones that are appearing on the network, not just on a semi-regular basis. We're talking about some of these folks have dozens of appearances in just the last 12 months. So I do kind of want to go through that list just a little bit, because I know Mastriano and Carrie Lake, especially, those are the names that most people will recognize. If you follow politics, you probably know who these individuals are. You know how extreme they are. And One America has done a great job for these folks, you know, promoting them on the network and allowing them to promote not just election lies, but it seems like lies and misinformation about whatever it is these folks want to talk about, right? I mean, the lies run the gamut from the election all the way down to culture war issues, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think the important thing to remember with One America News platforming all of these different election denying candidates is that it's for OAN, it's a part of their broader campaign to deny the reality of the 2020 election. It's certainly a bigger part of it. We have found over 100 appearances between just six candidates since the 2020 election. And those appearances are overwhelmingly about denying the 2020 election or spreading some other kind of ridiculous lie about it, or trying to get a Arizona-style audit in their own home state. Between the six candidates that OAN has primarily platformed for their election lies, four of them, Doug Mastriano, Matt DiPerno, Christina Caramo, and Burt Jones, they've all won their primaries. Carrie Lake and Mark Fincham still have primaries to go. But as you said, this shows that OAN has done a great job for these candidates in getting their names out there and potentially getting them support from the Trump base, all centered around these election lies, which, as I said, are really the foundation of what One America News does.
And when we look at who these candidates are, these are individuals who, of course, if they, you know, win in the general, you know, we're looking at Mastriano, gubernatorial candidate, Carrie Lake, gubernatorial candidate, Fincham, Arizona Secretary of State candidate, DiPerno, Michigan Attorney General, Jones, Georgia Lieutenant Governor, Christina Caramo, Michigan Secretary of State. These are people who would be in positions to overturn or at least kind of get the gears rolling if we come back to another situation like we had in 2020. So, you know, these people are denying election results while running for offices that would allow them to actually put that denial into action. And that, you know, is obviously the real danger with these people, is not just that they believe this alternative reality that we all know didn't happen, but that they could be in a situation to flip reality on its head should they win in November.
Precisely, yeah. And that is exactly part of why OAN platforms these candidates in the first place. The network is a fervent believer in the big lie about the 2020 election. And since the attack on the Capitol on January 6th did not result in Mike Pence overturning the election for Donald Trump, now OAN and the other election deniers across right-wing media have largely pivoted to the next best thing, which is getting like-minded people with themselves into positions of power to, they say, make it more difficult for the Democrats to steal the next election. And OAN has been pushing this not just with these candidates and other like prominent office seekers, but they even try to pressure viewers into just volunteering as poll workers or any sort of election worker position that they can get into on a local level, just to have those eyes on the ground that also believe in this big lie, essentially chasing ghosts that aren't there. And of course, the danger with that, as is the danger with these candidates who are pushing similar theories about the election, is that their fervent belief in such a potent lie could result in legitimate votes being thrown out in the next election. And that's true from the governor's mansion all the way down to just some volunteer at a polling site. The danger is throughout the system. And One America News is really, really pushing that.
And, you know, this was a strategy that Steve Bannon has been pushing ever since the 2020 election as well, telling his supporters, you have to go out there, run for these offices, or just go volunteer. Go be the poll worker, be the gatekeeper, essentially. And to me, what's interesting about this, you know, being in this for as long as I have been, I think it was back in 2005, we were doing a big story on David Duke and what the KKK was up to. And we actually spoke to some of the folks involved in David Duke and his hate group. And that's the formula they were pushing. They were telling people, go and run for local offices to help influence, you know, our views at the local level and gain steam. And it's so it's not, I want to say, ironic, but it's not surprising that the mainstream Republican Party now, that is very much in line with what, you know, those hate groups were 17 years ago, that they're pulling the same strategy here. And it's ultimately for the same goal, because they want the power. They want their views to be the predominant ones that rule the day. So they're going back to this strategy that it is not new, but it's one that's kind of been used by some very shady, horrible organizations in this country's history. And now Republicans say, hey, that's the path we want to go to. And it's terrifying. It really is, because they're having success. And that's the big problem.
Yeah. That is definitely the big problem with this strategy that they're running. I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, I do want to talk for just a moment, though. And I'm sorry for cutting you off, because I get excited about this. And I just want to say, One America is suffering from a massive problem right now, too. You know, they got kicked off DirecTV earlier this year. They're about to lose Verizon, which is their last real distribution channel. They're actually on one cable provider, I think, up in Alaska. So they lose Verizon. How does this network even stay in business beyond that? What are they even going to do at this point?
Well, we actually don't know yet if Verizon is dropping One America News. all we really know is that their contract with Verizon Fios expires on June 30th. And from the particular language that Verizon has used publicly to discuss these negotiations, it seems like the issue at hand might be financial, possibly that OAN is asking for too much money to be on Verizon Fios. But whatever the cause of the dispute is, it's overwhelmingly clear that Verizon should drop this network. I mean, we have the opportunity here to just cut things off on the 30th, and OAN's track record over the past couple of years has just been very little but anti-democratic propaganda. And I don't mean Democratic Party democratic, I mean democracy itself, because ultimately that's what all of this big lie stuff is about, right? It is a demonstrable fact that's been proven time and again that Joe Biden defeated Donald Trump in the 2020 election. But their constant undermining of that fact not only attempts to cast the 2020 election into doubt, but casts all future elections into doubt. Because from their perspective, if a Republican wins an election, that's great. The Republican won. if a Democrat wins an election, oh, well, there was probably some kind of cheating. We got to pull this apart and count all the votes and throw out all of these. So it's fundamentally an anti-democratic project. And if that weren't enough, OAN is also a notable clearinghouse for all sorts of anti-LGBTQ bigotry, especially against transgender people. They have been right on the crest of the wave with all of this groomer slander that's been popular in right-wing media, calling LGBTQ people and their allies essentially pedophiles. And one commonality between both the anti-LGBTQ propaganda and the election denial propaganda is that both of these occasionally spill over into calls for violence from OAN personalities on the channel. And it's just, I cannot think of a reason why a company like Verizon would want to continue to attach itself to a channel that is such a liability.
It really is. And honestly, you know, reading through this report that Media Matters has out now, the fact that they're still bringing on these election deniers is a little odd because, as we all know, they're facing over $1 billion in defamation lawsuits for pushing election lies. Again, for a network that's already hanging on by a thread, facing $1 billion in potential legal liabilities. I know at the end of the day, they're probably going to lose, but they're definitely not going to pay $1 billion. But even if you knock it down to a third of that, which is realistic, they don't have it. I mean, they don't have the $300 million sitting in the bank to pay this. I did actually saw a statement about 2 weeks ago from the president of Media Matters saying it's just unlikely that they could even survive the litigation, even if they don't lose Verizon, even if they still keep that. The likelihood of them making it through all of this, paying the legal bills, because those trials, I think they're put like 2 years down the road. I mean, this is a long, long process that I think Dominion and Smartmatic, they hold all the cards. I mean, it's pretty cut and dry when you look at it. Like, you pushed this, you knew it was false. So, you know, One America could be on its last leg in terms of distribution. And then financially, they're headed for Armageddon, it looks like.
Yeah. Both of these things certainly could be true. you know, I've never been sued for $1.6 billion, so I don't have a lot of personal experience about what that's like. But it is clear, based on what we know, that One America News's options are dwindling. You know, they lost DirecTV, which was about 90% of their revenue. They might lose Verizon. They're allegedly trying to negotiate that, but OAN also keeps attacking Verizon on air, I guess, as part of the negotiation standing or whatever. So they are facing some troubled times. Talent's leaving. There are more repeats on the channel. But what's also true is that the owner of OAN, a gentleman by the name of Robert Herring, he is independently wealthy. I don't believe he's a billionaire, but he does have a lot of money that's just to his name. And he has said on One America News that he's, quote, having fun with the lawsuits. So I don't know how much fun it is to be sued for defamation, but Herring has shown that he is not terribly concerned about the financial threats that his network is facing. So it certainly seems like One America News might be on its way out, but I don't know. I wouldn't say it's over until it's actually over. You know, one example of this is not OAN, but Alex Jones has been sued into oblivion by Sandy Hook families. He lost that judgment. He has to pay them everything, but he's still fighting it. And he's gotten a couple of anonymous cash infusions from some rich right winger totaling up into millions of dollars. So, you know, anything is possible. It seems unlikely to me that OAN would survive, but anything is possible.
Right. And of course, the other problem with that, too, is that even if One America goes down, there's still 100 others out there doing the same crap. So, hey, Bobby Lewis, listen, it was great talking to you. Where can everybody find you, follow you? Tell us what you got.
Y'all can find me on Twitter. I am at Rev R.R. Lewis. You can also find me on the Media Matters website, mediamatters.org.
Bobby Lewis, thank you so much for talking with us this week.
Thank you for having me.
And that's it for the free portion of this week's Ring of Fire. But for the full show every single week, plus access to the entirety of the Ring of Fire podcast archives, go sign up and become a member at rofpodcast.com.